Hello, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and every week or so I write a newsletter all about the future of radio and international radio trends, and this is the podcast version of it, where I read it out and try not to get it wrong, and also try not to edit myself. This week, I talk about getting more value from the archive, because many radio stations have wondered how they can monetize their archive material after typically seeing radio as ephemeral, of-the-moment stuff. The Rick Dees Weekly Top 40 is one example, which reruns old countdowns from the 1980s on some US radio stations. It's also available on an app. And similarly, Casey Kasem's American Top 40 is still running on iHeartRadio. But an afternoon drive show, how could anyone rerun that? Well, I'm impressed to see former radio hosts Hamish and Andy launching a thing this week called Hamish and Andy Unlimited. It's available on Apple Podcasts as a paid subscription, and it's 12 years of broadcast archive from 2006 to 2017, 1,800 episodes in total. And yes, there are free trailers if you want to go and take a listen. It's impressive to have all of this content, impressive also to have been able to take it and make it into a full set of shows. Initial shows are just 15 minutes long, episodes creep up to 50 minutes by their last year of 2017. They're using Apple Podcasts' subscription service, which deals with payment, copy protection, distribution, and everything you need in return for a 30% cut. You do need an Apple device to subscribe, an iPhone, iPad, or Mac. And the fee for this is a modest $2.99 Australian, which is about $2 in the US, or £1.75 a month. Hamish and Andy once broadcast on Southern Cross Austereo, and still do a weekly podcast for them, which is regularly a chart topper. So I found it a little bit curious not to see Southern Cross Austereo's name anywhere on the release of Hamish and Andy Unlimited, which I got from Apple. And looking into it a little further, Hamish and Andy's website is operated by Thomas Donald Operations Proprietary Limited. Thomas Donald. Thomas is Andy's middle name, and Donald is Hamish's middle name. And I assume that their company owns the rights to the show and licenses it to Southern Cross Austereo, which has freed them to do other work and do this sort of thing with their content too. Anyway, however it works, if you have the content and you've got it well archived, neither of those two things are given, then that is such a good idea. It's not the first reuse of the archives. Hamish and Andy have also done a podcast looking back at their old shows, Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project, which is now an exclusive on the Listener platform, and you'd think it would be a great advertisement for the full subscription and should perhaps be available everywhere. But there again, they're doing the Remembering Project for Listener, and they're not doing the Remembering Project for Thomas Donald Operations Proprietary Limited, so perhaps that's why not. And if you've not heard of Hamish and Andy before, I would recommend you going to watch a couple of clips on YouTube of them. The Ed Sheeran $2 Peep Show Experiment is brilliant. Jurassic Car Park, slightly less brilliant, but still quite brilliant and well worth a watch. Elsewhere, the BBC missed former Director General Tony Hall's target of 500 million global audience by 2022. They only managed to hit 492 million, and they only grew 1% year on year. The answer seems to be obvious to me. Pull the to-be-consolidated BBC News channel, currently BBC World News, away from its exclusive cable carriage deals and make the channel free for all on as many platforms as possible. Go on YouTube, like the Australian ABC News channel or Euronews, France 24, Al Jazeera, should I call it France 24? I suppose I should. Anyway, many more of those, that would be a good start, as well as free access on the BBC News app too. Reflect the United Kingdom, its culture and values to the world, one of the BBC's public purposes, says nothing about restricting it to bolster cable company revenue. Elsewhere, Pandora has added a charts website, which might be useful for radio music directors. There again, might not be. The Fader app, that's F-A-I-D-R, but of course, offers radio, but without the ads. Not quite sure how that works. Seems to offer live streams of radio stations, but they've chopped the ads out. Who's paying for that then? Anyway, it's available and you can go and have a play with that. Jacobs Media has written about the Alexa Radio Skills Kit, which made it easier for stations to get onto Alexa at the beginning of the year. In most of the world, by the way, Google Assistant speakers are way out in front, by the way. The UK and US are the exceptions. So if you're in Australia, or if you're in Canada, or if you're elsewhere, then you should be making sure that you're on Google as your number one thing, not necessarily Alexa. And finally, which industry has the worst logos? I link to a design website which suggests that the radio industry does. Probably wouldn't disagree, to be honest. Thank you to Richard Hilton, James Masterton and Brun Audio Consulting for your ongoing support of my newsletter and of this podcast. I'm very grateful to you. If you'd like to support my work in any way, you can buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JamesCridland. You can become a member to give regularly or just give a one-off coffee or five. That would be nice. I link to where to do that. Well, I mean, I've just read it out, but I link where to do that in my newsletter. And my professional website, james.cridland.net, has more details about who I am, what I do, and whether I can help you further. But until next time, keep listening.